the divine essence within, reclaiming the sacred spark from the ashes of empire. Across millennia, humanity has sought to understand its place within creation. From the banks of the Nile to the mountains of the Andes, from Mecca to Athens, countless spiritual and philosophical traditions have recognized a profound truth: within every human being resides a divine essence, a sacred spark that inclines us toward compassion, nonviolence, and harmony with the living world. This inner light, whether called Fitra, Atman, Logos, or Buddha nature, is the thread uniting faiths, philosophies, and indigenous wisdom. Yet, in the modern age, this truth has been obscured by systems of domination, greed, and exploitation, systems that have turned away from the divine essence to worship profit and power. The divine spark in contemporary spiritual traditions. Across the world's living religions, the divine spark is not a metaphor. It is a moral reality that demands justice, compassion, and stewardship. In Islam, the Quran declares that every human is born upon fitra, 30-30, a primordial nature attuned to truth, mercy, and the worship of the Creator. This fitra anchors khalifa, the duty of stewardship, to protect life, honor creation, and resist corruption. When Muslims give zakat, guard against cruelty, and defend the oppressed, they are not engaging in mere charity, they are acting as keepers of the divine trust. In a world driven by profit and domination, fitra becomes a revolutionary principle to resist all systems that exploit nature, animals, or humanity. Hinduism reveals this same truth in the Atman, the divine self within each being, inseparable from Brahman, the ultimate reality. The greeting Namaste, I bow to the divine in you, is a spiritual recognition of shared divinity. Ahimsa, the principle of nonviolence, emerges from this understanding. To harm another being is to harm oneself. In a culture that measures worth by consumption and conquest, Atman calls us back to sacred reverence, to seeing all forms of life as expressions of the same divine source. Judaism proclaims that humanity is created Batsalem Elohim, in the image of God, Genesis 1:26-27. Every human life therefore possesses divine dignity. The Mishnah teaches, whoever destroys one life destroys an entire world. This radical affirmation of sacred worth demands opposition to any system, colonial, political, or economic, that devalues life for profit or power. Christianity teaches that the divine light, the Logos, enlightens everyone who comes into the world, John 1:9. To love one's neighbor as oneself, Matthew 22:39, is not a passive ideal. It is a moral command to confront cruelty and injustice wherever they manifest. The faith's most radical voices, from Jesus to Francis of Assisi, recognized animals, rivers, and even the wind as kin. Yet today, societies calling themselves Christian often sanction war, exploitation, and ecological ruin, the very antithesis of Christ's teaching. In Buddhism, the doctrine of Buddha nature teaches that all beings hold the potential for enlightenment. Compassion and nonviolence are not virtues of convenience, they are cosmic necessities. To harm life is to obscure our own awakening. The Bodhisattva, who delays personal liberation to aid all beings, embodies this divine compassion fully. In Wicca and pagan traditions, the divine spark shines through the living earth itself. The reed's injunction, and it harm none, do what ye will, expresses a moral vision in which freedom and responsibility are inseparable. Pagan reverence for the elements, for the moon and the seasons, preserves an ancient ecological wisdom that modern civilization has nearly extinguished. But while these traditions call humanity toward harmony, the modern world, particularly the industrialized, colonial West, has turned away. The pursuit of profit has become a religion of desecration. Forests are slaughtered, oceans poisoned, animals tortured in factories, and wars waged in the name of economic or geopolitical gain. The divine essence has been buried beneath the idols of materialism and empire. Nowhere is this clearer than in Gaza, where the olive groves, symbols of peace and divine sustenance, are uprooted, and entire communities are crushed under the machinery of occupation. Here, the world's silence reveals a collective loss of the sacred spark. The oppression of the Palestinian people, carried out with the complicity of Western powers, is not only a political crime, it is a spiritual catastrophe, proof of humanity's estrangement from its divine nature. Ancient and indigenous traditions, living in sacred balance. Before the rise of empires, humanity's earliest civilizations lived in recognition of the divine breath animating all life. Their myths, rituals, and social structures were woven around cosmic balance, justice, and compassion. In Sumerian and Akkadian thought, humanity was shaped from the divine breath of Enlil and entrusted with upholding me, the sacred laws that governed both cosmos and community. To violate these principles was not merely social disorder but spiritual corruption. Babylonian cosmology and the Enuma Elish similarly saw humans as partners in maintaining cosmic harmony. Their ethical life was intertwined with divine order, emphasizing care for the vulnerable and alignment with the cycles of nature. In Egypt, the principle of Mahat, truth, justice, and balance, was the heartbeat of civilization. To live unjustly was to unmake the cosmos. Pharaohs were judged not by their power but by their preservation of Ma'at. The Nile's rhythms, temple art, and agricultural rituals all reflected this moral ecology. Greek religion and philosophy regarded the soul as divine and eternal, its purity maintained through virtue and moderation. Roman reverence for Numen, the divine presence in all things, cultivated pietas, duty, gratitude, and harmony with the gods and nature. Among the Norse, the concept of weird expressed a sacred sense of fate and interconnection, life as a web of moral consequences. To act dishonorably or exploit nature was to unravel the threads of existence. Yet nowhere was this awareness of sacred interdependence more profoundly embodied than among indigenous peoples. The Algonquian understanding of Manitou saw spirit in every being, stone, river, bird, or wind. Maya cosmology described life as a gift sustained by reciprocity. Inca reverence for Pachamama, Mother Earth, produced sophisticated systems of ecological stewardship. Shinto in Japan honors Kami, the divine spirits within nature. Taoism in China teaches Wuwei, effortless alignment with the Tao. These traditions shared not only a reverence for life, but also a radically different relationship to death. Death was not feared, it was understood. For them, death was a return to the sacred whole, a continuation of relationship with the earth, the ancestors, and the divine. To live rightly was to die peacefully, knowing one had not betrayed the order of life. This stands in stark contrast to much of the modern Western mindset, where death is feared, avoided, sterilized. Why? Because deep down, many know they have lived in betrayal of the sacred. A civilization that destroys forests, tortures animals, and wages endless war cannot face death with peace. Its fear is not rooted in mystery, but in guilt. Somewhere within, even the most secular mind senses the divine reckoning. The fear of death is the fear of judgment, not from above, but from within. Philosophical traditions, reason as sacred light. Even the rational traditions of philosophy, often divorced from religion, echo the truth of the divine spark. Socrates spoke of his daimonion, a divine inner voice guiding him toward justice. Plato taught that the soul's true home is the realm of eternal good, and that knowledge and virtue are acts of remembrance. Aristotle found human flourishing, eudaimonia, in the harmonious exercise of reason, friendship, and balance with nature. Stoicism, with its belief in the Logos, the divine rational order permeating the universe, offered a spiritual ethics of acceptance, virtue, and compassion. To live contrary to nature was to live contrary to reason itself. Confucianism and Enlightenment philosophy continued this lineage, Confucius through Ren, humaneness, and Kant through the moral law within. Yet even these traditions, when stripped of their spiritual humility, were co-opted by colonial empires to justify domination under the guise of civilization. Reason, when divorced from reverence, becomes an instrument of conquest. The cultural consequences of losing the divine spark. The spiritual decline of the modern world is not a mystery. It is the logical outcome of a civilization that replaced divine order with economic calculus. Where ancient law sought harmony, modern law enshrines ownership. Where indigenous ritual honored reciprocity, modern commerce enforces extraction. The result is planetary devastation, forests destroyed, oceans choked, and billions of sentient beings slaughtered for convenience. Empires that once justified their expansion as a divine mission now perpetuate violence through markets and militaries. Gaza, once part of the world's cradle of prophecy, is now reduced to rubble under the gaze of nations that call themselves Christian or democratic. The divine spark flickers amid the smoke of drones and the cries of children. The desecration of the olive tree, the symbol of peace and endurance, is the desecration of the sacred itself. And behind it all looms the terror of death, a terror born not of the unknown, but of the unatoned. A world that destroys creation knows it has sinned. Its fear is not metaphysical, it is moral. Ethical convergence, stewardship and compassion as acts of resistance. All traditions converge upon two sacred imperatives, stewardship and compassion. To be a steward is to guard the sacred, to be compassionate is to act as its emissary. These are not virtues of weakness but the weapons of the divine against empire. Islam's Khalifa, Hinduism's Ahimsa, Judaism's Betzalel Elohim, Christianity's command of love, Buddhism's Karuna, compassion, Wicca's Reed, the Sumerian Mi, the Egyptian Ma'at, the Algonquian Manitou, the Taoist Chi, each calls us to the same rebellion against cruelty and greed. To reclaim stewardship is to confront the forces that profit from death. To practice compassion is to refuse complicity in systems that destroy life. Every act of kindness, every protection of a forest, every refusal to dehumanize is an act of spiritual defiance. The divine spark in death, memory of the soul. The divine spark does not merely guide life, it prepares us for death. In the world's sacred traditions, enlightenment is not escape but realization. Jhana, moksha, nirvana, heaven, Valhalla, Talalakan, Summerland, or stoic peace are not distant realms but states of soul earned through nonviolence, compassion, and harmony. Death, for those who honor the spark, is not rupture, it is homecoming, a return to the sacred whole. A Palestinian farmer, replanting his olive tree amid rubble, walks this path. His struggle is Fitra's justice, Atman's divinity, Teot's energy, Manitou's reciprocity, a living bodhisattva vow. He does not fear death, he transcends it. But where the spark is betrayed, where forests burn, animals scream in cages, and children are buried under bombs, death becomes terror. Not because it is unknown, but because it is known. The soul, deep in its fitra, remembers. It knows the ledger. It knows the olive grove was sacred. It knows the drone strike was blasphemy. To strive for enlightenment is to live without fear of death. To fear death is to confess you never lived at all. Conclusion: reclaiming the fire of the divine. The divine essence, Fitra, Atman, Logos, Teot, Kami, Betzalel Elohim, is not an abstract idea but the living presence of truth within all beings. To reclaim it is to resist every empire, every ideology, every economy that denies the sacredness of life. Indigenous peoples still live this truth through simplicity and reciprocity. Muslims invoke it through stewardship and justice. Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, Jews, and pagans alike hold fragments of the same light. It is the light now buried beneath the rubble of Gaza, the ashes of forests, and the silence of those who know better yet do nothing. The divine spark burns brightest in resistance, in the mother shielding her child, in the farmer replanting his olive grove, in the protester standing before the machine. To restore the world is to remember what we were made for: compassion, nonviolence, and harmony. Anything less is blasphemy against creation. And when death comes, as it must, it should not find us afraid, but ready. Ready to face not punishment, but truth. To say, I honored the divine spark. I did not destroy, I protected. I did not exploit, I loved. That is the meaning of faith. That is the path back to God.